We're going to read from the book of Ecclesiastes this evening, chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. The sermon text tonight is verse 24. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. There's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Prayer day, as you know, is about praying for our earthly needs. And we ought to do that. Prayer day, in fact, is a good reminder of our calling to pray for what Jesus in the Lord's Prayer calls our daily bread. And we should pray not only on prayer day for those things, those earthly things that we need, but every day. We must not, however, in praying for daily bread and other earthly necessities, must not forget to pray for what Solomon talks about here in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. That's the ability, the grace, really, to enjoy those earthly things. And we have to pray for that because, as the verse says, that is a gift of God. And in the context, a gift which God does not give to everyone, but only to his people and to them when they ask him for it. So the subject is this evening is, using the words of verse 24, enjoying good in our labors. Solomon makes it clear here in chapter 2 that doesn't come automatically. I think we sometimes assume that it does. We see a man who's not a believer with a big meal in front of him, enjoying every bite. We see a person, again, an unbeliever, out with friends, family members, and enjoying the time that he has with his friends or family members. We see people who are able to purchase for themselves whatever they want. And it seems to us that they are enjoying
the wealth that they have, and even envy them their wealth and what they have, because it seems to us sometimes that the enjoyment of earthly things depends on the circumstances of life and on an abundance of earthly things. And Solomon makes it clear that that is not at all the case. That enjoyment, which an ungodly and unbelieving person seems to have, is really just an appearance of joy. It's like a nice apple, red, shiny, that has a worm inside that's eating away the heart of that apple. That's the enjoyment of a person who does not believe in God, and who, though he may have an abundance of earthly things, is in the biblical sense unable to enjoy what he has. Even though, like Solomon, has everything he could possibly want. The enjoyment that the Word of God is talking about here is not something superficial, an appreciation for good food, good company, for an abundance of earthly things. But the enjoyment that the Word of God is talking about here has a real satisfaction and contentment in it that makes it different from that enjoyment that the wicked seem to have when they have an abundance of earthly things. That's what's missing in their enjoyment, and that's what is promised here in the Word of God to those who are God's children. There are different reasons for that. Solomon, in chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, talks about the fact that even though an ungodly person may have an abundance of earthly things, that his life is nevertheless without rest. And Solomon calls his life vanity. And I think you know that that word means empty. For all that he has, for all the appearance of enjoyment, his whole life is empty. Solomon says in chapter 5 that has to do, among other things, with the fact that he is unable to keep what he has. Solomon explains that in chapter 5 by talking about the fact that earthly things do not satisfy. In spite of the fact that we often think they do. Silver and gold don't satisfy, Solomon says. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. As he came forth of his mother's womb, chapter 5, verse 15, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness, his soul sickness, that is. And Solomon knew what he was talking about. Solomon, perhaps more than anyone else who ever lived, had everything he could possibly want. He talks about that in verses 4 and following. But the conclusion that Solomon came to was that there was no satisfaction, no peace, no contentment in all the riches that he enjoyed. And that's one of the lessons that he's teaching us here in this passage that leads, first of all, to the truth that it's possible for a child of God to experience in his work, in what he earns by his work, in what he has as his portion in life, to experience that vanity as Solomon did. And the question that we each have to face then this evening is the question whether we ourselves enjoy good in our labor, or whether we, like the unbelieving person to whom Solomon gives so much attention in these chapters, are discontented, unhappy, dissatisfied. And thinking foolishly, that if only our circumstances were different, then we would enjoy what we're doing. If we had a different job, if we earned more, if we had this or that, then we would have something of the joy which the Word of God speaks of here in Ecclesiastes. But until circumstances change, that's impossible for us. And we experience some of the vexation, the grief, the restlessness of which Solomon speaks in verses 22 and 23. And that means, of course, that reading those verses, if I say, that's how I feel, then I've not learned what Solomon, what the Word of God is trying to teach us here in verse 24. What I was talking about, as far as the person who seems to enjoy life, but at whom the Word of God takes a closer look here in Ecclesiastes, and whose heart the Word of God examines, and who in light of the Word of God is actually discontented and unhappy, so that his enjoyment is only an outward show and nothing more. You and I sometimes see. I worked for quite a few years for a man who earned a good living from his business, from an earthly point of view, enjoyed life to the full, did a lot of traveling, did whatever he wanted, spent his time drinking, gambling, partying. But whose friend retired, and on the way to his new retirement home in Florida was killed in a car accident. The man I worked for was angry. And his response was, "Is that what life is all about? That you work your whole life long in order to have a little time for yourself and then lose it all in the end?" And that's the reaction of the man whom Solomon is describing here, who has not learned to make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Even if he has a job that he likes, he works with a view to the future, and in the end, has nothing. And Solomon wants to make sure of his own experience that we don't think that way. And so he tells us that in spite of the vanity of life, in spite of the fact that earthly things can never satisfy, it's possible to enjoy good in one's labor, to enjoy one's work, and to enjoy what one has as a result of his labor. And Solomon means not just some superficial enjoyment, but as we said, to be content, to be happy, to be satisfied, and to be happy and satisfied no matter what his circumstances may be. Whether his work is what he wants to do or not. Whether his circumstances are exactly what he would have wished for himself or whether they're not. Whether he has an abundance or whether he has only a little. It's possible for his soul to enjoy good in his labor. In fact, Solomon says and that's worth thinking about. Solomon says that that's the best thing in life. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Nothing better, at least, in this life, as far as those earthly things are concerned, and all the circumstances of life that go with them. And that's what raises the question for each of us. Do you, in our labors, enjoy not only those labors, but what we have as a result of them? Or is our life full of that vexation and grief and restlessness that the previous verses talk about? And I dare say that especially in times of prosperity such as we enjoy, used to having whatever we want, that there are not many of us who can eat and drink without envying someone else who has more than we have, without being dissatisfied in our labors, because we don't have this or that. Very few who enjoy what God has given them. And what we have to realize, that goes back to what I said before, that comes from God. That's a gift of God, a gracious gift of God, and a gift that He gives only to His own. Verse 26 echoes verse 24. God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. God, you see, as a God of judgment, will not let the sinner have any satisfaction or peace or joy in what he has, whether it be in abundance or whether it be very little. That's the curse of God that came on mankind in the beginning. Rejecting God, turning away from God, the only good. God will not, under any circumstances, allow the sinner to enjoy what he has. So that, I think that's Psalter number 136. so that in the end they're no different than the beasts when they die. They leave everything behind, die without hope, and without even the possibility of enjoying what they have in this life. That's a gift of God. And that is what I want you to go home with this evening. With the understanding, the wisdom of knowing not only that there's nothing better for a man in this life, but that that comes from the hand of God. I want you to put away all those foolish ideas that make you and me think that if only things change, then we'll be happy, then we'll be satisfied, leaving us utterly discontented in our present circumstances. And when Solomon says that that ability to enjoy what you have, to enjoy your labor, washing dishes, changing diapers, putting meals on the table, going to a 40-hour work week every day, the ability to enjoy that, truly enjoy, to be satisfied and contented and at peace in those circumstances is, as Solomon says, from the hand of God. And he means by that that it's a gift of grace. A gift of grace that traces back to the shed blood and sacrifice of our Savior on the cross. It's sin that makes it impossible for the sinner to have anything else but vexation and grief and restlessness in his use of these earthly things. And it's only when our sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ that the good of which Solomon speaks is possible. Although, as we've seen in the example of Solomon himself, as it's recorded here in chapter 2, even Solomon himself had to learn that lesson. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I gathered me also silver and gold. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. But then I looked on all the works of my hands, that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And that means then that if you and I are going to have that enjoyment, Solomon says there's nothing better than that. If we're to have that, then we have to pray for it. As something that comes literally in the passage from the open hand of God, who for Christ's sake has opened his hand to his people. And that's why this passage is appropriate too for prayer. What good does it do to pray for food and drink and clothing and homes and whatever other necessities we have if there's no soul's enjoyment in them? And prayer day then is not just a day for praying for those things, but for what Solomon talks about here in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. God, give me enjoyment in my labors. Though my work is travail and labor and toil, exactly what Solomon describes here in Ecclesiastes. Give me the ability to enjoy it as a gift from thee. Give me the grace to enjoy what I have. And how much makes no difference. Give me the ability to enjoy it and to be satisfied with it and contented in those circumstances. Because I understand that silver doesn't satisfy, nor abundance. And by the grace of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I understand that even if I lose all these earthly things, and I will lose them all in the end, when I leave this life, that I don't die as the ungodly with nothing, but I have the riches and treasures of the kingdom of heaven as my own. And therefore, can be content in whatever circumstances thou art pleased to put me. And if I'm unhappy in those circumstances, then give me the wisdom and knowledge, and then to the joy that are promised in verse 26. The wisdom to know what the Word of God teaches in a passage like this. And the knowledge of what I have in Christ Jesus, my Savior. And so, help me. Help my soul to enjoy good in my labor. Remember that Psalter number? The little that the righteous hold is better far than wealth untold of many wicked men. Destroyed shall be their arm of pride, but they who in the Lord confide shall be upholden then. That's what this verse is all about. And that's what prayer day is all about too. Not just seeking earthly things, even though we need them, but seeking from the hand of God our Savior the spiritual ability to enjoy them as we ought for His glory and honor, and to do that as those who are redeemed by the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. So praying for this, beloved, go home and enjoy good in your labor. Enjoy what you eat and what you drink. Enjoy what God has given you. And be thankful for it. And remember that that's possible because, like Solomon, this also you see, that it was from the hand of God. Will you do that? Then the service this evening will not have been in vain, and the time we've spent here not wasted. And then, too, prayer day is a reminder of better things to come when God not only gives us enjoyment of good in our labor, but the everlasting fruits and the reward of grace that He's promised in His Word. And that wonderful word of encouragement that we'll hear when we stand before Him to be judged. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Leave you with that. Amen. Heavenly Father, our great and gracious God, we pray for our daily bread and pray too for that grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes it possible for us, as those who belong to Him by the shedding of His blood, to enjoy in this life what we have, looking forward to the day when we will leave all these things behind and enter into the joy of our Lord. Forgive our discontent. Forgive our unhappiness. Forgive us when we are like the ungodly, whose lives are but vanity and vexation of spirit. Forgive us all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.